Today on Movie Rollouts, we talk about Hell or High Water, Pete's Dragon, and War Dogs. It's time for Movie Rollouts. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
Movie Rollouts is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, the show is for you.
What happened there?
Someone's missing.
Yazdi's missing.
Yazdi, where are you?
We miss you.
So Yazdi is visiting his family, I think, in India on a much overdue trip. So given that he is away on extended leave, we've taken the rather
drastic
decision to record without him. And boy, do we miss him.
We miss him. Yazdi, come back. All is forgiven. It's just not the same without you.
Seriously, there's like a microphone empty here. I'm staring at it and looking for wisdom and insight. So
thanks.
So it's a historic podcast for other reasons as well. This could well be the last podcast we have in our current home.
Correct.
Because we are moving on.
Surrounded by boxes.
Another location. Yes, we are knee deep, soon to be ankle deep, or rather the other way around, soon to be neck deep in boxes.
If we haven't killed each other.
So yes, we are officially moving the Movie Walla studio.
So we haven't even got Yazdi to temper that.
I know, and there's no food here. And
I know.
We're just falling
to pieces.
It's no good. Anyhow.
But come hell or high water, we shall record.
Oh, segue. And we're not going to do Netflix this week because we are going to talk about three movies. It's going to be a pretty full podcast. So why don't we start with the movie Hell or High Water?
Okay, so a divorced dad and his ex-con brother resort to a desperate scheme in order to save their family's farm in West Texas. So this is directed by David McKenzie, and it's written by Taylor Sheridan, and it stars Dale Dickey, Ben Foster, Chris Pine, and Jeff Bridges, who we haven't seen in a while, actually.
Yeah, he kind of comes and goes, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, Joe, what did you think of this one?
Oh, hot diggity dang, this is one fine western of a movie. I really had a good time with this film. I think I went in with very low expectations, which is always a help. I think the movie had kind of come without a lot of fanfare, and then very quickly I think the press picked up on what I think is, you know, one of the better movies of the year here. This is a solid cat and mouse movie, and you know, it has that kind of very western feel, but it's just more than anything, this is a superbly paced drama that has like lots of beautiful moments of tension. There are just, you know, these kind of set pieces, a terrific finale, just excellent stuff.
So I know we share accounts on a lot of things. Have you been staring at my notes?
No, go on.
Young Joseph. Okay, so welcome to my new favorite movie of the year. This is Americana at its best. This is an intriguing story that's really got a very relevant narrative on the state of economics in this country, I think. It's a wonderful slow burn that twists and turns. But I think what really did it for me, Joe, was that at its core, it's about people and their relationships and what's important to them. Many things that I loved about this movie. I think, A, it's really funny, but it isn't an outright comedy, but some really good laugh-out moments. It's not even a dramedy, but it really made me belly laugh at times because it's real in the way that it recounts the story, and I kind of think this is how a hold-up would really look, not kind of what we've been used to in some of those polished movies that we've seen over the years. And this is the thing that gets me the most, right? I am equally rooting for the good guys and the bad guys, and I don't want either to lose, which makes this one of the best, as you said, cat and mouse stories ever. What a phenomenal movie.
Yeah. I think what caught me out more than anything, and it's interesting, in the last podcast, I think I recommended No Country for Old Men.
Yes, you did, yeah.
As my Netflix pick. So you know, if you haven't seen that, go see it now. It's on Netflix. But tonally, this movie reminded me of that a lot. I mean, okay, we don't have the bad guy element to it, but it's just the way it kind of draws out its characters. I think Jeff Bridges is obviously another standout performance here.
Fantastic.
It's very similar to his Oscar-winning one. I forget the name of that movie, the one of him being the country singer. And also True Grit, I think. He was in True Grit, and it very, very much feels like that. He plays the West Texan cop with wisdom and insight beautifully. But the whole dynamic between the two brothers, I think, is done beautifully well. And yeah, Rashmi, you said it well. I mean, I think that the movie is grounded in the sense that it feels very real, but you know, it also captures the absurdity of some specific moments, and you know, there's just a level of tension that the movie draws out between, you know, the characters, and the way that the screenplay basically has two separate movies playing.
Yeah.
You have, you know, two buddy movies. You have the cop and his sidekick, and then you have, you know, the two brothers who are on the run. And essentially, for the large parts of the movie, I couldn't even see how the two were going to come together. And as it does, as the kind of the walls close in on the crime spree, the movie kind of escalates that tension and just, you know, gives you a wonderful, wonderful finale. I love this.
Yeah, Crazy Heart was the other movie that you were thinking about. Yeah, I think it's phenomenal acting, and I really think there's going to be some best actor, best supporting actor nods, both for Chris Pine and for the wonderful Jeff Bridges. I mean, you've said a lot about Jeff Bridges, so I'll talk about Chris Pine's acting in this one. The character's so nuanced because you never know who the manipulator or the manipulee are. And it's beautiful watching, again, there's almost a cat and mouse within that brother relationship as well. And I never quite knew what was going on, and that just added to the texture of the movie. And then it's got this wonderful soundtrack, which is all these kind of, I wouldn't want to describe it as country and western songs, but there's all these like real life songs going on in the background, it felt like, that kind of add to this dusty texture. Which just makes up this really rich tapestry of life in small town America.
Yeah, you said it perfectly at the beginning with the word Americana. I mean, it has a wonderful sense of place. I think it feels old fashioned, despite being set in, you know, I couldn't tell if it's set, you know, in the 80s, 90s.
It could be set at any time,
but it's kind of set in this, you know, older community, just yeah, it knows where it is, and it doesn't play or try to be anything more sophisticated, or it doesn't have any pretense of being, you know, a 60s movie or a 70s gangster type movie. It just is, and it's done beautifully.
Yeah, and I think it's expertly directed. Now, I actually looked up this director. I haven't watched anything else that this director's done, but believe me, I'm going to go back and look at his back catalogue, and I think we should definitely put these in our Netflix queue if any of these are in the Netflix. So let's sum this one up, Joe. I can start today. I think this is a hyper political movie without rubbing your face in it. From the economy to the whole concept of, is a good guy with a gun able to stop a bad guy with a gun? But there's this beautiful line in the movie that really captures me, and it says, I've been poor all my life. It's like a sickness passed down from generation to generation. This is a fine, fine movie, and come hell or high water, you should rush out and watch this. 9 out of 10.
Wow. I don't disagree with anything you said there. I think it's just a solidly crafted movie. It doesn't quite get my 9, which is interesting, because I think this type of thing is definitely more, generally speaking, you know, down my alley than yours. But certainly a wonderful, wonderful piece of filmmaking, and it gets a very, very stingy Yazdi-style 8 out of 10.
Oh.
And that was
that's how much you miss him.
That was an 8.5 rounded down to an 8 for you yesterday.
Oh my God. You really miss him.
All right, let's move on to something completely different, which is Pete's Dragon. And For those who were asleep during the 70s and 80s, I think Pete's Dragon was a cartoon, or rather a live action with cartoon blended in movie from back in the day. I don't remember much about this one. I don't recall seeing it other than glimpses of it on television. But essentially, it's the story of an orphan boy named Pete and his best friend Elliot, who just so happens to be a dragon. The movie stars Bryce Dallas Howard, Oakes Figley, Wes Bentley, Carl Urban, and has appearances also by Robert Redford. The movie is directed by David Lowery, who, interestingly, we know from a couple of film festivals ago, he did a movie called Ain't Them Body Saints.
Which I loved. Another Americana movie, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. And quite how he went from that to Pete's Dragon is a little beyond me, because the movies couldn't be more different. I think he would have been a more suitable director for our last movie, which was Hell or High Water. But Rashmi, what did you think of Pete's Dragon?
Okay, so I think the movie How to Train Your Dragon, the original one, sets a really high bar for all things dragon-related. And earlier this year, we had The Jungle Book, which I just thought was delightful. So I had quite high expectations of this one, and I'm sad to say I was really disappointed. This really didn't work for me.
Yeah, I didn't love this one either, and I think in part I have to remind myself that this is very much a movie for the kids. So it's almost unapologetically so. I mean, it has very sweet and simple beats. I think it carries its emotions very well, but I think as a more sophisticated adult audience member, I think the movie almost feels like the Flight of the Navigator type movie that Disney used to do very well in the kind of 80s and 90s. That kind of, you know, fantastical, childlike imagination adventure that isn't quite...
It's trying not to be an animation, basically, but it's catering to a younger audience. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, no, I think... You know, there's a way of doing these movies that speak to both adults and children, and I think that this movie isn't trying to do that. I think, you know, it's an adventure that I picture myself as an 8-year-old boy, would love to have gone on, you know, to have had a best friend as a dragon, to kind of, you know, go on these adventures to... It almost felt like a child's dream, you know, the level of realism in the movie is very low. There's a moment where, for example, the dragon is cornered and captured and escapes. And that whole thing is very much told from, I think, the viewpoint of a 10-year-old boy. And as a consequence, it just doesn't feel like a movie that we as adults can latch onto in any meaningful way. And so I think it's one that is one that, you know, the kids will get a lot more out of. I think as adults, I was just looking for a little bit more depth.
Yeah, and I totally disagree with that, Joe, because for me, it was more melancholy than fun, although there were some fun moments. There was just no joy in this movie, and I was looking for that adventure, because I think even if there had been adventure that I could have latched onto, I would have said, okay, this is a great movie for kids. But there was no joy. And I think... For me, what I come away with is, I think like The Jungle Book, the story tried to explore this relationship between man and beast. But I think what it's doing is kind of saying that nature is just a stronger force and the need for like to be with like is too hard to overcome, because that's what kind of separates them. And I think the story overall then just made me sad, and I just ended up with this terrible separation anxiety through the entire movie, and I just wanted it to be over.
Wow. that's interesting, because I didn't react to it that deeply at all. I mean, I think in some ways the movie was a little too subtle in its emotions. I mean, I think I know why you feel the way you do, but I just don't think the movie was written well enough for me as an adult to get that from it. I mean, yeah. I think it was very simply crafted and very, very light in its tone. I mean, I think there were some messages in there. You know, there were a lot of environmental type things going on there. But The writer's touch was far too light for us to see any of that.
Yeah, I guess it was just too hammy. Like the Keith Urban character was just so storybook, flat, cardboard cutout. It just all felt so phoned in.
But that's exactly what I mean. I mean, I think the level of sophistication that we expect as adults, you know, well-rounded characters, you know, conflicting motives, they're not there. These characters are very one-dimensional. You know, the bad guy is a bad guy. You know, the good guys are good guys, and there's nothing in between. And so, like I say, I think it's written simplistically for an audience that I think is much younger than, you know, the type of thing that we're used to seeing as adults. And unlike, you know, the great children's movies, this doesn't seem to have that level of depth. And I'm not familiar with the original material, but I think, you know, it was never considered to be a huge classic. I mean, you know, the DVDs of Disney that came out over the years have never included as a must-see Pete's Dragon.
Right.
So, anyhow, so...
I mean, the original was an animation with this cute dragon. I mean, the one scene I remember is this beautiful scene where the dragon changes color as it's looking for Pete. That was magical. None of that here. So Joe, why don't you sum up and give this a score?
You know, I think the kids will really have a good time with this one. I think certainly the children that are around us in the audience screening that we saw were mesmerized. I think the dragon is interesting. I think the story is at their level for them to kind of latch on to and take its ride. And I think they will walk out all talking about the various movie themes. But for adults, it's too lightweight. And so that's how I'm going to rate this one today. And I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, as I've said before, this is more melancholy than fun, although there are some fun moments. But what should have been a magical delight is a little hammy and flat, and even Robert Redford can't change any of that. So this is going to be a 4 out of 10.
Ouch.
Yep. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it.
So movie number 3 of the week then is War Dogs. And War Dogs is the story of, it's kind of an absurd story if you think about it. It's based on a true story of two, basically, it's based on a book called, I think, Dudes and Weapons or something like that.
Dudes and Guns or something, yeah.
But the story is based around these two guys who successfully exploited the government's, the Pentagon's weapons procurement process by looking at the type of weapons that the government needed to buy, and they would find ways of procuring them, sometimes a little sketchy, sometimes legit, but they would find ways of procuring them and they found themselves becoming arms dealers. Over time, the two of them start raking in big money and living the high life, but then they land a huge deal with the Afghan military, and that starts to unravel their little empire. This is based on a true story. It's directed by Todd Phillips. Yes, that's Todd Hangover Phillips, and stars Jonah Hill, Miles Teller, Kevin Pollak, Bradley Cooper, among others. So, Rashmi, what did you think of War Dogs?
So, as you said, Joe, this movie is based on true events about something really quite serious. But I think it's genius in the way that it relates that story in an almost high-energy, high-octane buddy adventure caper at times. I really enjoyed this movie and wasn't bored by even 1 second. It never stops, and when it does, you're scratching your head trying to figure out what's going to happen. It actually makes you forget that you're watching despicable people do despicable things in the name of war on a black market run by the government.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been looking at the reviews that this movie's been getting. It's 59% on Rotten Tomato, which is just 1% under the fresh threshold, which I think is a shame, because I think a lot of people do use Rotten Tomatoes as their barometer for movies.
Not movie wallers.
The educated, the insightful. but honestly, I think it does the movie a disservice, because, yes, I think most of the criticism is leveled at this movie because it does take a very light take on what could be a serious matter. And I think, you know, there's a huge part of me that wants to see the documentary of this. You know, I want to see the real people, what they did, how they really perpetrated. Instead, what we get is something very akin to The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any more or less offensive than that movie was. I quite like that movie. I think some people found it reprehensible. Personally, I think, Scorsese at the helm added a level of gravitas to that script, and this movie lacks that because it is, you know, directed by Todd Phillips. But still, he draws out these brilliant moments in the movie of extreme danger. I mean, the kind of capers that these guys got up to, and I did do the Wikipedia research, so take that for what it's worth. But a lot of the events here really did happen, and maybe they played out a little more fun. But let's face it, this whole thing is ridiculous. The mere fact that a couple of guys in their early 20s could score a $300 million government contract and then attempt to fulfill it and actually fulfill it and get away with it is mind-boggling. And so, you know, when you have the malarkey-like take on it all, I think that kind of strikes the right tone. It's taking a critical look at society, at government, at war, and it's capitalism kind of turned on its head.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing, you know, this would be a ludicrous movie. If this was just a regular script of a movie, we would be having the same conversation saying, what a load of twaddle. But it's, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. And for that reason, it works. I mean, the thing that elevates this movie for me is Jonah Hill. I think it's easy to underestimate him when you first see him on screen. But I think he's fabulous and despicable at the same time, which is difficult to play. And I think it takes skill because I think the character is intentionally annoying at times. And it could have been hammy and even more annoying and kind of ground on you. But I found myself rooting for the sociopath that he is. And I think, you know, he's almost as likable and unpredictable as the Joe Pesci character in Goodfellas for me. Obviously, that's an amazing performance, right? But it's the first time I've seen that kind of character on the edge played so well. And, you know, Bradley Cooper's great in this movie. And again, I think the thing that elevates this movie for me is it has these great one-liners. Like it says, would you wrap a lizard in cashmere? I live on crumbs like a rat. There are some interesting one-liners that tell you a lot about who this person was. And I say that it's really Jonah Hill's movie. I think Miles Teller does a good job being a supporting actor, but it's really Jonah Hill showing off.
I think he steals the show somewhat because of those lines. I mean, I think Teller is really our hero in the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's definitely shot from his perspective. His character narrates everything. But I think Hill steals scenes. And he does it brilliantly because I think I'm fascinated even more to kind of know what the real life version of this character is, because here what we do get is kind of a caricature.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it is overly inflated, very stylized and kind of larger than life, but he brings out a dangerous nature of this person because for the most part, he's very likable, but he has these moments and these behaviors. And this is what creates any terrific bad guy. It's their unpredictability. It's the way that they can turn on a dime on you, regardless of your relationship with them at any point in time. That came across brilliantly in Jonah Hill's performance. I don't know whether
even
that was
to the point that he's got this annoying laugh, right? That's part of his character.
Yeah, no, it's almost like a tick.
Yeah.
And you don't
it's
know.
It's scary.
Yeah, and they introduced the character brilliantly with a scene that's in the trailer, so I won't spoil it again, and I have to talk about the trailer for this. But, he really does kind of steal the movie.
Yeah, I think it's really well-paced, and I think there's this amazing tension that really does make you feel very uncomfortable at times. And I think it does this thing where I haven't read the book, but I believe that there are like cuts in the movie that pull up the chapter of the book Which is an interesting kind of way to bookend each section of the movie. I won't say the beginning, the middle, and the end, because it's not that obvious. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be otherwise annoying, but the words that come up on the screen are so random that you have no idea what it's going to lead to. And then as that next section plays out, you kind of get a sense of, oh, that's why it's called that.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a bit precious. But
I was going to say, it's an interesting and entirely unnecessary gimmick, because I don't think it added to the movie at all.
I agree.
And I think Tarantino does that in things like Kill Bill, where he'll throw up a quote and you only get the context of it later on.
Yeah.
Here it kind of felt throwaway to me, so I was neither here nor there with that aspect of it. But I do think overall that a lot of the criticism is, you know, A, it's lightweightness, but also the characters aren't particularly well-rounded either. I mean, we just spoke about Pete's Dragon here, you know. Yes, the main guys have their motivations, but everyone else around them is very flat. I mean, almost jokingly so. The Sergeant Major character from Iraq and the FBI agents that pursue them, they're not particularly interesting. So, you know.
Yeah, and again, I don't disagree with you, Joe, but I think it's not about that. I think this movie is about these two people and each of their needs for something.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely
fair. And that
fair.
Motivation is what drives them forward to make these ridiculous decisions. And it's not Hangover-like. I mean, I was worried that it was going to be a caper-like Hangover, or the later ones. Obviously, the first Hangover was genius, and I loved it. But, you know, subsequent ones just were the same thing. This is not phoned in.
No. I mean, there's a lot of soul and heart put into this movie. I think they really did have a very specific vision that I think is realized. And again, I think as you look at the way the movie's reviewed, it's simply that people want to see a more, you know,
heft, I think.
Yeah, just a kind of
lows,
a darker,
maybe. Yeah,
a darker take on what actually happened here. But yeah, that's not what they set out to make. And I think they made a movie that's both entertaining, and absurd and not over the top. It's kind of very well judged in that respect. So I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10. I think it's entertaining rather than insightful. I really do want to understand exactly what these two guys did to exploit the system in the way that they did and make millions of dollars in the way that they did.
I think that you're planning on doing that.
That there is. I want the millions of dollars, but I'm not going to run guns to Afghanistan. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think the lesson in this movie is government doesn't always know what it's doing, but let's not get political. War Dogs is great entertainment and tells a good story. I still can't believe this actually happened. Solid 7 out of 10 for me. Actually, it would be an 8 that I would back down to a 7.5, but really I'm going to just make it a 7.
We are totally missing our third movie roller today.
We are missing our Yazdi. Come back.
Yazdi, come back. All right, on that note, let's wrap up the podcast for today. Instagram.com/movierollers, Facebook.com/movierollers, Twitter.com/movierollers, everything/movierollers. Do check us out on the web. You can find us. You can interact with us. We love to get that. Let us know what you thought of these three movies. Until, I guess, our next podcast, it's too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me as well.